Our scripture reading this morning, our first one is Hosea chapter 5, verses 15 through 6 and 6. Then I shall return to my lair until they have borne their guilt and seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains and that water the earth. What I can do with him, Ephraim, what I can do with you, Judah, your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. Then my judgments go forth like the sun. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 9, two different readings, 9 through 13. Hence 18 through 26, a calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to the bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand and got up. News of this spread through all that region. But this is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
When I was thinking about the scripture, I was reminded of times when pastors gather at meetings for like regional and general church, and discussions always arise among the pastors in churches are talked about. And they know that the other pastors will be confidants about what is being talked about, that it won't go any farther. This happened quite a while ago. So It's all well into the past, but at one of these I heard from a pastor who was having a difficult time and was not sure what he'd be doing after the last special board meeting. He came to that church after talking to the folks who were there, he found there were a number of people who had attended but had fallen away with the change of pastors, which sometimes happens. And he got the names and still found them listed in the current church directory. So over the weeks after he arrived and was getting to know people, he went out and started diligently making contact with those families. And along the way, he'd meet other people and invite them to church who were looking for a church home. And many of the previous attendees began to return, and the Sunday morning attendance nearly doubled in that time. And some of the new contacts began to show up for Sunday morning services. Then came some grumbling and vague complaints. This led to the board putting out a suggestion box so concerns could be addressed. And eventually this just became a complaint can where the pastor could be attacked anonymously without any means to respond to the issue. A while after that, one member confided with the pastor that the issue was with the people returning to the church. One group worked to drive out the previous pastor and pushed out most of those that supported him. They were still in charge of the church on the board and other positions of authority. The people returning had supported the previous pastor. As he was talking to some of them, one of them said, "The wrong people are coming to church." He got the regional minister involved and went through a process to find the means to come together and work together. It took several months. At a final special meeting, the board was to affirm the results of this work and see how it could be implemented for the future of the church. When it came to discuss the recommendations, the representatives from those previous meetings announced they disagreed with the proposals and didn't want to follow through with anything that was previously affirmed. The person who was chairing the board, in order to show what the basic problem with the pastor was, announced as an accusation, "All you are interested in is getting new people into the church." A short while after that, I noticed that the church was seeking another pastor. So, the wrong people were coming to church. When we read the gospel passage, we see Jesus inviting Matthew, a tax collector, to follow him. That's where this begins with all of us. Somehow, somewhere, we heard Jesus say to us, "Follow me." Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a German theologian from the 30s and 40s, and his most well-known book in English is Cost of Discipleship. But it has a different title in German. It's just one word because of how German can say things, and it's Nachfolge. And the actual translation of the title would be, "Follow me." So this is the beginning of discipleship, to follow when called. As we have come to this place like Matthew, hearing Jesus call, "Follow me," and we begin to move to find our way to see what Jesus does and how he is fulfilling God's will. So what does Jesus do? He goes to the house where Matthew lives, and they have a meal. Others heard this and probably are friends of Matthew and are invited to join in the meal. But as he is there with his disciples and these others, the Pharisees, looking in, ask, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" For the Pharisees, there were strict rules on how to maintain their purity so that they could fulfill the law as they had interpreted it. Who you could associate with, who was unclean and what was unclean, to be avoided and rejected in their social and religious life. They had their world all neatly bundled up, and was there only to protect their notion of righteousness. Upon hearing this, Jesus bursts their little world. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." God seeks those who are in need of knowing God in their life, not those that believe they have God under control. Then he paraphrases, that he requotes Hosea in saying, "Go and learn what these words mean." And then from Hosea, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but the sinners." There were clear lines between the clean and unclean. And when people were unclean, they had no means to immediately be made clean. The practices they expected to fulfill were for those on the inside, the clean. All others were outside of that. But Jesus turns this on its head. He is not there for the righteous, but for the sinner. He was not there to be sure the wrong people had a, he was there to be sure the wrong people had a place in God's world and they would know it. Now the passage in Matthew skips over some other verses where he has another discourse. And at first I wasn't sure why, but as I thought about this, the two miracles do something for each one of those that were there that shows what God is doing. So as Jesus is sitting there eating and talking, the leader of the synagogue shows up and pleads with Jesus to raise his daughter from the dead. And Jesus goes with him. Now, on the way, there's a woman with bleeding issues, and she comes to him and just touches the edge of his robe, believing that she could be healed. Now, the condition made her unclean and unable to participate in any of the worship or religious ceremonies. She would not be able to be with friends other than at a distance to prevent her uncleanliness from contaminating them. Jesus recognizes what had happened and declares her healed. Jesus continues on his way to the dead child. According to the rules, being dead was unclean, ritually unclean, and all who touched the body had to go through rituals to be made clean again. So when Jesus sends the mourners away, he goes in, touches her, and raises her from the dead. This is about what it is we see to begin to fulfill God's will by seeing the world differently. Both of the miracles, in both the miracles, Jesus takes the person in need from being unclean to clean. Paul talks about how in Jesus the barriers are broken, the divisions we have envisioned are gone. The things that keep us apart can no longer do that. And this is what this is about. We begin to fulfill God's will by seeing the world differently, seeing those who are lost, excluded, no longer as the wrong people, seeing that we, like they, are in need of grace, God's love, that we need to show mercy as we have been shown mercy, to forgive the sins against us, as we just prayed. We are fulfilling God's will when we see where others need compassion, as we do, when we see we are in the same place of anyone demeaned and rejected, when we reach out to those who are seen as the other, the suspect, the, and to be honest about it, the unclean in our society. Richard Rohr, a theologian and spiritual writer, sums up what Jesus is about in this passage very well. Jesus is never upset at sinners. He's only upset with people who do not think they are sinners. When we are fulfilling God's will, we are opening the doors to the church to all and inviting those who need God's love and the fellowship of others showing mercy to come. To come and join us to follow Jesus, who has called us to follow him. When we see ourselves in this way, we can hear what another prophet, Micah, said. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with the God, with your God. We fulfill God's will by simply seeking to do justice, love kindness, which is also translated as love mercy, and walk humbly with God. When we do this, we are beginning in the way to fulfill God's will, and we will live in it through eternity. Amen.